following interview is between attorney Anthony Galluccio of Cambridge and Al Benjamin, WNAC Radio and TV, Boston. The interview took place on Tuesday, April 14th, at the State House in Boston. Tony, when did you first meet John F. Kennedy?
Well, I met him in college, I'd say 1940.
What, how did he impress you at that time?
1940, actually I'm wrong, it was back to about 1936.
1936, 36. Undergraduate days at Harvard.
Undergraduate days, right. I met him by playing JV football. He was a quiet, reserved, shy, but attractive young fellow when I knew him.
Did he look to you as a potential athlete at the time?
No, anything but a potential athlete, potential politician.
He showed signs in 1936 to through 40 as a politician?
No, I never showed any such signs in college, just another fellow on the campus with a nice personality and a nice boy to play football with and chum around with.
When did you get actively engaged with Jack Kennedy, and I'm sure you called him Jack?
Well, actually,
in terms of politics.
Right. Actually, it started when I met him on the street one day after World War II. He was still in his Navy uniform. He had remembered that I came from Cambridge, and he told me that he was thinking of running for Congress, and would I help him? And I said, I know a lot of people in Cambridge, and I'd be glad to help him.
You said he was thinking of running for Congress. Did you help him bring it out of the thinking stage and into an active candidacy?
Yes, he was also debating about whether he should run for lieutenant governor at the time. I think Tobin wanted him to run, but we had quite a few discussions about it, and I know I put in my offer as running for Congress. I thought this was the best place for him to run.
You recall at the time that he did not live in the congressional district?
This is true. He lived over here at 22 Bowdoin Street.
But you looked upon this as not being a liability of any sort?
No, I was just another young fellow who couldn't even spell the word politics, and I think this was typical of the Kennedy movement. We'd all just come back fresh from the war. We had ideas about what we wanted to do in terms of leadership and being active participants after we had come back from the foreign scene. So we were actually making our own way in what was a new field to us.
Well, what made you think that John F. Kennedy would be a good congressman? First of all, could win the Democratic primary?
Well, in the beginning, we didn't even think in those terms. I just knew Jack Kennedy. I didn't even know his opponent, Mike Neville. I knew who he was. I knew Jack, and I knew a lot of other people. Jack was an attractive person, just as an individual. I think you didn't go any further than that. You just thought that this fellow would make was kind of a fellow you'd like to see in politics, and you wanted to help. You didn't project any further than that because you didn't know that much about politics.
In 1946, was John F. Kennedy what you would describe as an outstanding campaigner for office?
Well, no. As I say, when we first knew him, he was just a congenial, attractive young fellow. And I know he didn't know anybody in Cambridge, and I was about the only person he knew there. And I took him around, introduced him to people like John Droney and Joe Healy and so forth. But the thing was that as you observed him in the course of his actions, you saw that he had a very good handshake. He knew how to smile with people. He remembered people's names. He could sell himself very readily. Everybody that you introduced him to liked him as a person, liked him as an individual. This is the way you first thought of him. You didn't think of him as a politician because none of us really knew too much about politics or politicians.
Were you satisfied with the conduct of the 1946 congressional campaign, which started John Kennedy on his way?
Right. Well, to explain this, Jack Kennedy came upon the scene at a time, not detracting anything from Jack Kennedy, but he came upon the scene when he was a forerunner of what I call the political revolution, which is now in full ferment. He came upon the scene when people were subconsciously looking for a new type of a candidate. And Jack fitted into this. He had the naive appearance. He had the shock of hair that fell over. He was a multimillionaire who was very humble. As people would say, this fellow is not the kind of a fellow that would steal. So subconsciously, people were looking for this new type of candidate, and Jack, and this I think was the very beginnings of this political revolution in Massachusetts. Jack Kennedy fitted into this pattern. The rest he did with money, with his ability to make friends, with his tremendous capacity for work. The one thing I will say about Jack Kennedy is because he didn't have to work, as a lot of people do. He didn't have to earn a living, but he did utilize his time every minute of the day, going where you want him to, getting out and meeting people. In the beginning, he didn't know anybody, and by the time he got through, he knew a lot of people.
So because he did not have to work, he waged essentially a 24-hour-a-day campaign for Congress.
Right, but I think in the background is the element, as I say, of the subconscious desire of people to find a new element in politics. And I think he was a forerunner of this. Without this setting, I don't think, despite everything, the money and the work, it wouldn't have happened.
You think that this was the first time after World War II, or the first time in Massachusetts political history, where we found a distinct departure from the James Michael Curley type of politics
right.
to the new era?
Right. I think this was the essence of particularly stepping into a Senate fight. This was the essence of a Senate fight. As I got around, you could feel this. Jack, a lot of people say, well, he looks like Abraham Lincoln. He's humble, and you'd get again, well, he's the type of fellow that won't steal. And they were looking. He fitted it into this concept.
You've described him as being shy. Was this an asset or a liability?
Tremendous asset, because again, this fitted into the converse concept of a James Michael Curley. He was a politician who appeared rather shy and diffident, and I think this was a tremendous asset. He wasn't really shy, just appeared shy.
You think that appearance of shyness disappeared as the years went along?
Oh, as he got acclimated into the political scene, and particularly as you watched him as a president, you saw it rub off.
You mentioned that he campaigned around the clock, 24 hours a day. Were there any signs that there was a physical problem here, that his physical stamina was suffering because of his war injuries? Did you detect any problem?
Well, Al, that's an interesting point, because he definitely was impeded with that war injury in his back and with his crutches, and he had this ashen pallor during that Senate fight. But the amazing thing about Jack, to my mind, I think one of his best qualities was the fact that he'd keep plugging, no matter how he felt. And so even on crutches, it was hard to keep up with him. He had a tremendous amount of energy despite all this. His nervous energy, whatever it was, but he had energy.
He was campaigning on crutches?
He did, yeah.
Throughout the congressional
campaign? I've seen him sit down for 2 or 3 hours and just answer letters of people that I had visited around the Commonwealth. You know, and just, you'd see that ashen look on his face, but he'd keep writing. The doggedness is still inherent, and I think in Teddy and Jack and the father, this tremendous drive. Where it comes from, I don't know.
Did you know his father, Ambassador Joseph Kennedy?
Yeah, I met Joe Kennedy. We had some interesting arguments about the Lodge fight, too. This is the thing I remember mostly. Joe Kennedy kept thinking that Jack was going to murder Lodge by about $300,000. I told him I'd give him about a 50-50 shot, and this is all. And interestingly enough, Jack Kennedy didn't like to hear this. He used to say to me, I'm only going to talk to you every couple of weeks. And I said, well, this is all I'll give you, it's 50-50. And I maintain that if Lodge had not hooked up with Eisenhower, it's the Taft people that killed Lodge, if he had stayed out of that fight, I think he would have beaten Jack Kennedy by about 30,000 votes, despite the tremendous effort that Kennedy made. People like Brazel Brewer down in Bedford clobbered Jack Kennedy. It was Joe Martin, a congressman who was with Jack Kennedy against Lodge. Any number of Taft people who got on Jack Kennedy's bandwagon would have stayed away from helping him, and I think that Lodge would have ultimately beat him.
You mentioned bandwagons, and this brings me back to 1946 again, when you feel that you placed the first wheel on the Kennedy bandwagon. Do you feel that you have benefited by this in any way? Have your circumstances changed from 1946 through 1964?
Oh, this is an interesting point. I'd say it is so, that I was the first fellow, to my knowledge, in the congressional district that Jack Kennedy approached. After I helped him in the congressional fight, I shook hands with Jack. I said, I've got an offer for a job down in New York with a young multimillionaire. I said, I'm glad I've been able to help you. So maybe I'll see you again someday, where maybe I won't. And saw him, and Jack said, where are you going? He said, I want you to help me when I run for the Senate. I said, well, look, maybe you'll see me again someday, maybe you won't. So I said, just glad I've been able to help you, and away I went. Coming back into the Senate fight, which I feel I was the chief architect of and organizing, because actually I spent a year and a half organizing the entire state. With all due credit to Bobby Kennedy and the other people, Bobby came in the last 3 or 4 months of the campaign. After most of the groundwork had been done, he served the purpose, but the work had all been done at that point. But anyway, I never asked Jack Kennedy for anything. The only benefit I have gotten out of it is the satisfaction of seeing, having introduced many, many people into politics that had never been active before. Because one of the things that I noticed going around the Commonwealth is that in the Kennedy movement, we asked a lot of people to participate in politics who had never been asked by the professional people. And a lot of people all over the state said to me, you're the first fellow that's ever asked me to be active. So that indirectly, I feel a lot of satisfaction in having able to be over and above. I don't consider Jack Kennedy the main contribution, though I think he was a good president. I think it's the whole effect that through him, this is the biggest benefit I see in Jack Kennedy, through him, he was able to attract a lot of people to participate in the politics, who have since stayed active both as candidates and as general helpers and active people.
Today, you're an attorney for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. What were you doing in 1946 at the time you were working or helping Kennedy?
In 1946, I was going to Harvard Law School the time I helped.
Were you married at the time?
No, I wasn't.
You're married today?
I am, yeah.
And how many children do you have?
I have one.
One child. During this hard, laborious campaign time in the early days of the political career of John F. Kennedy, did you have any moments where you could just relax and let down your hair, if you had hair at that point?
This was one of the tremendously interesting facets, of course, of Jack Kennedy's personality. He was tremendously flexible, and he could step out of a campaign speech this was all like a game to him, like a football game. Then he could go up to his apartment, he'd get it be in a sweatshirt and throw the football around, and you'd just chit-chat and talk about nothing. But he had this tremendous flexibility and ability to relax on a dime.
But you had fun as well as
oh, yes.
A good political experience.
And I consider Jack Kennedy, I'd say we were all practically as close as brothers. I consider him a friend. As a matter of fact, he's one of the few people that I've really helped in politics. The only other people I've helped, and not to the degree of Jack Kennedy, is I gave John Collins some help, and I've helped Foster Furcolo. Other than that, I have never really given a whole lot of support to anybody that I have to Jack Kennedy.
Were you very close to John Kennedy when you were in college, undergraduate days? Were you?
Yeah, I was one of his friends. I wasn't a roommate, but we were close friends.
You were not a roommate. This referring to the many hundreds of thousands of roommates.
That's right. I met him in playing JV football and in his public speaking class, but we did, we were very friendly.
You mentioned football, and you mentioned it earlier as well. Was he a good football player?
Well, within Jack wasn't too sturdily built a fella. He was aggressive. I think he did pretty well with what abilities he had. I think we confine him to being a pretty good touch football player.
And the touch football game, which has been developed by the Kennedy family.
Right. I think he also had this hero worship of athletes as a result of being a tremendous athlete himself. I think this is one of his attractions to people like Tommy McDonald and Ben Smith, who played football, and maybe Wizzy White, who eventually became a Supreme Court judge.
The president a good student, as far as you know, at Harvard in the undergraduate
days? Well, he was quick.
Day?
He was a B student. He wasn't. He didn't work too hard. He didn't spend too much of his time studying, but he was quick and fast. This was shown in his public speaking class, where he'd walk in without any preparation and get up and give a pretty good impromptu discussion. I think he had a fast mind. He wasn't any genius. Now, there are many, many students in school who you'd consider excellent, tremendous students. Jack Kennedy wasn't in that category.
But all of these attributes, the good speaking, the sharp sense of humor, the ability to come back quickly, these started the show in 46.
Tremendously so in politics. He could maneuver his way through people and get people to help him. Without any problem at all. I've never seen anybody in politics who would get people to aid him without his promising anything, even just talking and just being attracted to his personality.
Did Did you finally end up as his campaign manager in the 1946 congressional campaign?
Well, I wasn't formally his campaign manager, but I did all the spade work in Cambridge. I lined up. I did the hardcore organizational work. I lined up the people, and Jack told me that he told me personally, and he told other people that he was more obligated than me than anybody in Massachusetts for winning his Congress fight. And that's not to say anything about a Senate fight, because I duplicated the effort in the Senate fight. And incidentally, along those lines, this is something I'd like to get off my chest. The organizational work that was done in the Kennedy setup was not thought out by either Jack Kennedy or his father or Bobby Kennedy. The pattern that we used of going into an area and selecting somebody who had not been active in politics and getting solid citizens to join in was something actually that I'll have to take credit for that myself. It may sound like ego, but I set that pattern up. And Jack subconsciously went along with this type of pattern because he wanted to stay away from the politicians. He wanted you to see them, but he didn't. But he wanted to build his own organization. But when you read the papers later, or when you read the magazines and the articles, the impression is that all this had been planned from the very beginning. This is not so. It was a spontaneous movement in the Congress fight, where we went out and saw people who had not been active in politics and who were well known and liked in the community. And again, there was a duplication of this in the Senate fight. Only in the Senate fight it was a definite pattern set out.
Besides the president's father in that early campaign in 46, were there any other members of the Kennedy family participating in the campaign?
46. Well, Bobby Kennedy, he sat around down in one of the headquarters in East Cambridge. He was just a young boy going to college at the time, and he was really more of an observer. And the one place that the family did step in was in the tea that we had. This is that one ladies' tea that I think was Lem Billings's brainchild, in which we invited all the women in Cambridge, got a written invitation to come down to the commander to meet Jack Kennedy, his father, his mother, and I don't know if his sisters were there. This had tremendous impact.
Is this the forerunner of all of the famous Kennedy teas and coffee hours?
This was the forerunner of all the teas. And
who were some of the other people who participated with you in the first campaign?
Well, the foremost fellow was John Droney, who helped me line up Cambridge. Mark Dalton was very active in that campaign. He did a lot of the speech writing and speech advising.
Where is John Droney today?
John Droney is presently a district attorney in Middlesex County.
And Mark Dalton?
And an aspirant for governor. Mark Dalton is a practicing attorney. He's an attorney for the teachers union presently.
Who were some of the other leaders in 46?
In 46, well, Joe DiGuglielmo was the only politician who ever came out Jack Kennedy's support in 46. As a matter of fact, I still remind Senator Danny O'Brien, when I went in to see Danny O'Brien to help Jack Kennedy, Danny gave me quite a laugh about it, and he said, huh, so this kid's going to be a congressman? I said, we might let him be Mike Neville's secretary. I still remind Danny O'Brien of those words. So Joe DeGugge was the only, he was a city council, and he did some work in East Cambridge. He was the only politician. The other people were rank amateurs in politics, and as a result, very effective. Both young fellows who just come back from the war. And matter of fact, I was fairly careful to select people who hadn't been active in politics. This formed a nub of his organization.
When did you feel that the real molding of the man took place, and the real qualities of leadership, and the John F. Kennedy as the world remembers him began to emerge? Did this take place before he became president or after he assumed the office of presidency?
Well, that's a very interesting question. On looking at Jack Kennedy in perspective, despite the fact that he was a tremendous worker and so forth, I personally never would have thought that Jack Kennedy was going to be a tremendous world leader of presence. As a matter of fact, even though he was very attractive and very able and quick and all these qualities, I didn't think in anticipating his becoming president, I didn't think that possibly he would make too good a president, because I didn't think he had the executive ability. At least he hadn't had the executive experience. So I think that actually the only way you can explain Jack Kennedy is that he had these latent qualities within him, and that as he assumed these responsibilities, and I suppose this is true of many people, you just can't find out what's inside a person until you push him to what he has to do. Then these qualities came out. But if anybody had told me that Jack Kennedy was going to make a tremendous president in 46 or 50, I would have disagreed.
You've mentioned the 46 campaign. You've mentioned the 52 senatorial campaign against Henry Cabot Lodge. Did you participate in the 58 senatorial campaign against Vincent Celeste?
No, I didn't.
Why were you out of that?
Well, that's a long story. I had after Jack Kennedy got elected.
Did you have a falling out in any way?
Well, not with Jack, but with some of the people around Jack. Let's put it that way, without naming any names.
Well, you mean that the amateurs that you recruited at one point became professionals, and went up?
Some of the amateurs became professionals, and a very solid wall went up. And actually, so far as I was concerned anyway, I had helped Jack Kennedy because I liked him as a person. I wasn't, looking for anything. The only thing actually I might have looked for Jack Kennedy is for him to help me as a candidate if I should want to run for Congress or something else. But I think definitely the wall went up around the candidate, as Al, goes around most of the candidates, whether they're governors or presidents. Somehow some of the amateurs become pros, lots of things change after these fellas get to hold office.
And therefore, some of the founding fathers, so-called, of the candidate closed up.
I could tell you some stories about that. One of the prominent people around Jack Kennedy was very prominent. He's writing a book about him now. I remember meeting him in the 1946 campaign.
Which author is this?
Well, do you want me to name the name?
Absolutely.
I'll be Arthur Schlesinger. I remember going to Arthur Schlesinger's house and asking him to help Jack Kennedy in 46, and he berated Joe Kennedy, and he was just a profiteer and this and that. And I mean, it's just interesting to watch how some of these fellas wind up on their feet later on, aiding and abetting the candidates, same people who are knocking them in the beginning.
How do you think the president was doing as the president of the United States?
Well, I think Jack Kennedy was doing an excellent job as president of the United States. The only quarrel I might have had with him is I thought the whole effort was an extremely calculated effort. I mean, I thought they were doing too much projection of what the people wanted, and then started letting the policies go that way. I think the civil rights issue was a prime example of this. I think that there was a projection that they felt the people might want civil rights, and they found out that they had gone too far. But I think where Jack Kennedy operated on spontaneity, I think he was there was too much of a machine set up around him, too much sounding out constantly of the public as to what they think. Not that I don't advocate this, because we did this in the Senate campaign, but I think there was just where Jack Kennedy used his initiative and ingenuity, as he did in Cuba when the actual crisis arrived. I think he was tremendous. And I think if he relied more on those innate abilities and intuitiveness, I think he'd been better off. But the whole effort, to me, was a little bit too calculated in its efforts. I don't know if I make myself clear.
Did you vote for him for president?
Yeah, I did.
Were you preparing yourself to vote for him for re-election in 1964, had he lived?
Well, I probably would have voted for him, since I'm basically a Democrat. I would have weighed the opponent. I can't see any of the opponents. I never could see Nixon in the prior year. I can't see any of the present opponents. If it came down between him and Rockefeller, I don't know.
Where were you, and what was your first reaction when you heard of the president's assassination?
Well, that's a good point. I was at Igo's restaurant
in Cambridge,
across from, I have a research company over there, and I'd stepped over to have a business conference with somebody at the restaurant, and I had my inventor, who was over in the research company, called me up, and on the phone, he has a radio in the play, an intercom radio, and he heard it on the radio, and he said, Jack Kennedy's been killed. He said, I'm not too sure, but that's the way it sounds, he's been killed. I was kind of amazed at it, and I happened to mention it to somebody. And he called me back again. He said, "It's definite. He's been course, which was actually the shock didn't sink in for a while. I have a very maybe Latin attitude about things. I don't know anything can happen in this world. It does constantly, but the shocks 2 or 3 hours later.
Did you attend the funeral in Washington?
Yes, I did, along with many, many other people.
Were you invited by the family?
No, I just went down on my own.
The preceding interview has been with attorney Anthony Galluccio of Cambridge, and the interviewer was Al Benjamin, WNAC Radio and TV, Boston. The interview took place Tuesday, April 14th, in the State House in Boston, Massachusetts.
That's probably one of the frankest discussions you would get.